You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and I am the host of Stop Feeding the Predators. I'm also the founder of Stop Feeding the Predators, and I started this organization for people who were sexually assaulted when they were children, regardless of what their age is today, and to provide support for parents whose kids have been assaulted, and also to help educate parents, teachers, caregivers, anybody who cares about children, to teach them how to help protect kids from sexual assault. One of the things that surprised me when I first started this is the number of people that came to me once they found out what I was doing, whether I handed them a card or whatever, and they would say, "I want to tell you something." And we would go to, you know, some spot where we weren't around a lot of other people, and they would tell me something that had happened to them when they were children. And, you know, no graphic details again, but they felt that they needed to say, "Somebody hurt me." And what surprised me was how many men did this. And I guess the thing that was the most surprising, not only the number of men that told me something had happened when they were children, but when I asked them what happened, how did it stop, was the person prosecuted, you know, what happened next, so many of those men said, "I've never told anyone before in my life." And that is such a difficult thing to realize, that some people were sexually assaulted when they were children and have never spoken of it. And I don't know if it's with women, we hit a point in our life where we're like, "Okay, I don't care, I've got to tell somebody." And with these gentlemen, it seemed to be the first time that they felt they had an opportunity to say out loud what had happened without being judged, with some compassion, with, you know, some understanding of what that meant, and knowing that it's not their fault. So today, I want to take some time and talk about the sexual assault of boys. Obviously, I am female, and I am not an expert on sexual assault of boys, but the things that I've learned and through conversations with men who've been assaulted, and even with men who've gone on to do assaulting because they wanted to get their power back, as it's been phrased, it's been really eye-opening, not just the similarities, but the really strong differences between a boy who grows up having been sexually assaulted and a girl who grows up having been sexually assaulted. Sexual assault of boys can happen by men, it can happen from women, and it can also happen from other children. Many times the other children have been sexually assaulted by an adult some point in their life, and they act out what has been done to them. I can't say it's not anyone's fault when children sexually assault other children, because obviously they learned this inappropriate behavior from somewhere. But that's why we need to address, when children have been sexually assaulted, we need to address that with them so that they learn what's appropriate and what's not. Most children that sexually assault other children have not had a conversation with an adult about what's appropriate, of saying that should not have happened to you, this person should not have done that, things like that. And one of the differences between boys and girls being sexually assaulted is many times, not always, but many times, boys' bodies will react to the sexual assault. I don't know how to phrase it any better than that without going into detail, and I'm not going into detail. But if you and I are standing and talking, and calm conversation, pleasant conversation, I suddenly stomp on your foot, it's going to hurt. Your body is going to react to that pain, even though your mind is in the mindset of we're having a pleasant conversation. Your body is still going to react. And especially with boys, because they may get an erection or they may have other reactions that indicate to them that their body may be enjoying it while their mind does not want it, their body may be reacting and they may think that it's their fault that it continued because their body reacted. If their body hadn't reacted, maybe it wouldn't have gone as far as it did. Maybe the other person wouldn't have continued, whatever. And I want to emphasize very strongly, your body's physical reaction to something that's happening that should not be happening is still your body's reaction. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It is your body's reaction. And if you do not want to have sex and someone is touching you in sexual ways and your body reacts, please know that you are allowed to say no. That's regardless of your age. That's also regardless if you're male or female. But it's important to point out, especially to men and to boys, just because your body's reacting to whatever stimulation, whatever encouragement from the other person, or abuse from the other person, you can say no. Being sexually assaulted as a young child does not define you. And I've talked with men who say that they felt like they were weak because they couldn't fight back, that they thought it meant they were gay because their body reacted, so they must have liked it. And it does not mean that you're weak, and it does not mean that you're gay. As I said, sometimes women are the aggressors against young boys. It doesn't matter who did the assaulting. The point is, if you're a child and someone is touching you in a sexual way that you do not want, that is rape. And actually, depending on your age, if someone's touching you in a sexual way, that's rape, no matter what. Sometimes men, boys, will try to deny that it happened. They'll try to pretend that it never happened. It was a horrible dream. It was something that they made up, you know, in their mind. Many times they try to deny that it happened to get rid of the emotions and the trauma of it happening. And I could give you several men to talk to. Denying that it happened or pretending that it happened, pretending that it didn't happen, does not change the trauma of it happening. Later in life, some men will act out. They will be more aggressive. They will think, yeah, I've been having sex since I was 8 years old. I'm a wild man. No, if you were being sexual when you were 8 years old, you were being raped. And a real man understands that abstaining from sex is one of the most powerful things a man can do. Not indulging in it every opportunity he gets, but actually abstaining from it until the time is appropriate and until the partner is willing. And that doesn't mean wear her down. That doesn't mean romance her. That means you wait until it's appropriate. Some of the emotions that boys endure, men endure, are very similar to what women endure. The guilt, the shame, feeling like I don't matter, I'm just here for whatever other people want. And that can be really difficult when you're trying to establish relationships later in life. I know for me personally, for the longest time, I was of the wrong opinion, I'll emphasize wrong opinion, that if someone flirted with me in a sexual way, made sexual jokes, sexual gestures, sexual content in the conversation, I thought that meant that they liked me. And in reality, that means that they are trying to be sexual with me. As an adult, it is my right to decline that or accept that advance. As a child, we aren't given the right to say yes or no because the aggressor has already decided it's going to happen. And as children, we don't know that we're allowed to say no. Think about how many times parents say to their kids, you need to be respectful of adults. You need to listen to what adults tell you. You need to do what you are told. And things like that. And that can be very difficult for children to discern between a healthy adult telling them, change your clothes, take a shower, versus an unhealthy adult saying, I want to watch you change your clothes, I want to watch you take a shower, things like that. So it's important that we talk with children to help them understand these differences. They're subtle, but they're enough that we need to explain to children about that gut reaction. If somebody wants you to do something, or somebody wants you to say something, or somebody wants you to go somewhere, and your gut is reacting funny, you need to find a different adult that you trust and tell them what's going on. And if that adult doesn't help you, you need to find another adult. The reason I say find an adult you can trust is sometimes it's a parent that's doing the abusing, and the child feels that they can't tell another parent, or perhaps the other parent knows and is trying to ignore the behavior. I tell children, talk to an adult you trust, and if they don't help you, tell another adult that you trust. And if they don't help you, tell another adult that you trust. Because if your gut is reacting to something, there's something wrong. Not with you, with what's happening. And if the other person doesn't mean any harm to you, they're not going to be upset that you talked to a different adult about what was going on. Sometimes, when boys are assaulted, later in life, they get the feeling that at some point they lost their power. I guess it's been phrased that way, so I'm gonna stick with that phrasing. And it's very true with girls as well. Many girls who are sexually assaulted when they are very young become very promiscuous, become very flirty when they're teenagers. And part of that is because they want to be in control of who gets to be with them sexually. Even though they're still too young many times to even give consent, and in most cases, they don't understand the ramifications of what they're doing, they only know that sexual flirting, sexual behavior, sexual touching gets them attention, makes them feel special. And as I said, in my own personal life, you know, if you didn't want to be sexual with me, you must not like me. That's the wrong idea that I learned when I was a kid. And for boys, it's kind of the same way. They feel like they need to take back being in charge. They need to take back their power of being able to say, I'm going to be sexual with you. And if they pursue sexual relationships, whether it's a one-time thing or a constant thing with the same person, when they pursue sexual relationships, they get that misconstrued feeling of being in power again. And when they're sexually assaulted as children, they feel used, they feel abused, they feel like a thing instead of a person, they feel powerless. And that's true for girls as well. But if you look at the statistics, and I don't like statistics, but if you look at them anyway, females who are sexually assaulted tend to be more flirty and promiscuous later in life. Boys who are sexually assaulted when they were children tend to go one of two extremes. They either act out aggressive, it's all about the sex, as much as I can get, whenever I can get it, as often as I can get it, with whoever I can get it. Or they shut down and avoid it completely. But the interesting thing is, boys who were sexually assaulted when they were children tend to grow up and sexually assault others. Whereas females tend to not do that. And that's a very big difference between the two. And it's a very critical and important difference between the two. Many times when I talk with people and they hear what I'm doing with Stop Feeding the Predators, the first thing they say is, anybody that touches a child sexually needs to die. And while I can appreciate their anger, the harsh reality is some boys who grow up and rape children were sexually assaulted by young girls when they were little. And that's been the case in many, many men that I've talked with. That's been the case with them. And it shows the importance of keeping our kids protected from sexual assault. And it shows how critical it is that if they are sexually assaulted, we must talk with them about it. We must help them to understand that it is not their fault, that if their body reacted or their body didn't react, does not mean that they were willing, does not make them at fault. It does not mean that they are weak because they didn't fight back. It is important to talk with children who have been sexually assaulted. And if we want to stop sexual assault, we need to focus on little boys' education. And I hope that isn't taken badly. But boys who are sexually assaulted more often grow up to be men who sexually assault. Girls who are sexually assaulted do not grow up to sexually assault children, typically. And this is not 100%, but typically. And in order to stop that feeling that men somehow need to retaliate for what was done to them, we have to talk with them when it happens. We have to talk with the children when they're sexually assaulted, whether male or female. Some men may use drugs and alcohol or food addictions to mask their pain from the assault that they're still trying to hide from. Women do the same things, but I think it's less recognized in men. Sometimes we'll see a man who's an alcoholic and he may be struggling to stop his drinking, to control his drinking. He may make amazing steps, go to AA, he may, get a counselor, he may do whatever to try to stop drinking. But if being sexually assaulted when he was a child is one of the things he's trying to hide from, until those emotions are dealt with and until he can say out loud to himself, I was raped when I was a kid and it's not my fault and it shouldn't have happened, he's going to continue to want to drink or smoke or do drugs or use food addiction to try to cover that pain. When we're sexually assaulted as children, it alters how we perceive the world as well as how we perceive ourselves. And many times we think we're not good enough, that there's something wrong with us, that we're broken. And for all practical purposes, those things are true. we need to face the feelings that we have about what happened to us, because until we acknowledge what happened, accept that it did happen, and pursue healing for ourselves, we are broken. And if we're hiding from trauma that happened to us, there is something wrong with us. And please keep in mind, what we needed to do to get through the situation when it happened is what we needed to do to get through the situation when it happened. We talk about fight, flight, you know, when you're talking about a crisis or whatever. And more often, children who are sexually assaulted, and I believe this is true for adults as well, but primarily for children who are sexually assaulted, fight or flight are not the normal go-to instant reactions, because most often children are sexually assaulted by someone that they know, and they have a tendency to freeze. What started out as possibly a normal conversation ended up with somebody tromping on their foot equivalent. They're not quite sure what to do. They're not quite sure how to react. They don't know if it's really happening, or is there something wrong with them that they're thinking it's happening? And they freeze. It's important to help children and adults who never dealt with the pain. It's important to help them understand fight, flight, or freeze. And freeze is a very real reaction to an abnormal situation. Many people, 9/11 I'll use as an example, froze. They stood there in the streets and watched a plane go into a building, and they just stood there. And a minute or so later, they watched another plane crash into another building. And again, they just stood there, because watching a plane crash into a building is not a normal thing to have happen. And many times, their minds are trying to process what they have just witnessed. Did I actually see what I thought I just saw? Okay, I see smoke billowing. I see a building that, you know, is at least for those first few minutes, still standing, but with smoke billowing out of it and debris falling from it. And maybe they saw flames or something, but their mind is still trying to process, did I really just see a plane fly into the side of that building? With sexual assault of children, it's the same thing. It's kind of a shock. I don't want to confuse the term shock with freeze, because that's really two different things. But it's a surprise to their brain, and they are struggling to understand what is happening to them. They are trying to figure out why it's happening. Is it really happening? Why is it happening? And they go back and forth and back and forth. And at some point, they may tell themselves, this isn't really happening. And they may work to convince themselves that it's not happening. And perhaps the abuse continues, or maybe it ends, and they try to go about their life as if it's not happened. Facing the reality is the only way to get past it. You can drink as much alcohol, take as many drugs, eat as much food, race your fastest car, whatever it is that you do to try to gain back your power over feeling weak and over feeling powerless when the abuse happened to you. But the bottom line is, we must feel the feelings that came up during that abuse. When we froze, we stopped our body from reacting. And it's kind of a numbing thing. And now we need to unnumb, and we need to feel. And it's awful, and it's nauseating, And sometimes our brains can even bring back the physical real pain of what we had endured. But it's the only way to work through it and to get past it. You can't hide pain. You can't hide from your pain. At some point in time, you will have to deal with what you felt if you want to get past it, if you want to be healthy. We've talked a lot about what happens to boys and men when they're sexually assaulted when they're young. And I'd like to offer a little bit of hope for the men who've been abused. When a woman says that she has been sexually assaulted, you may have more compassion for her than others who have not been assaulted. You may have more understanding today about sexual assault being the fault of the aggressor. Some men see news headlines, woman sexually assaulted, child sexually assaulted, and they go on the victim blaming. Well, what was she wearing? Well, what was she doing with him? Well, why did she go with him if she didn't really know him? Well, where were her parents? And she didn't have anybody to trust, so of course she went with him, and yeah, she got raped. Men who've been sexually assaulted have a better, typically, have a better understanding of that powerlessness. And sometimes, yes, we still judge and think, well, you know, what if, why? Because when we're judging someone else's sexual assault, we're trying to understand our own. A man who says, well, what was she wearing? Well, why was she with him? He could be callous and victim blaming, or he may be struggling to understand how this could happen to her so that he can understand how it could happen to him. So when you hear a man talking that way, instead of automatically assuming he's a careless pig, give him the benefit of the doubt and ask him, why would it matter what she's wearing? Why would it matter how long she's known him? If he raped her, it's his fault. And instead of being mean to this gentleman, help him to understand that it doesn't matter what she was wearing, because it doesn't matter what he was wearing when he was a little boy and somebody touched him. And again, I'm not saying all men who ask these questions were sexually assaulted. I'm simply offering a new way to deal with men who ask questions like that. There is help available. Stop Feeding the Predators offers free help, and you can call 614-403-4545 if you would like to talk. There are absolutely no graphic details. So if you're one of those kind of people who think that you're going to call up and talk sexual details, I'm going to hang up on you, and I'm going to block your number. Or I may report you to the authorities. Depends on my mood. But if you're a gentleman or a woman, if you were sexually assaulted when you were a child, and you need someone to talk to who understands it was the aggressor's fault, you are welcome to call us. Again, it's 614-403-4545. There is help available. It is not your fault. Children cannot give consent for sexual activity. They can't. It's not a matter of you said it was okay. It's not a matter of what you were wearing. It's not a matter of who you trusted. It's a matter of somebody was mean to you and they shouldn't have been. You're also welcome to reach out to us through email, through our website, through Facebook. You can send a private message. The bottom line is, you deserve healing. You deserve to be the good man that you were intended to be, and to not have to hide from the struggle of what happened to you. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. And healing starts here.